This is on the hour. Arise, Sir News.
On the hour.
Such is politics.
It's a painful business.
On the hour.
What you mustn't do in politics is listen to people.
It's a painful business.
Such is politics.
The green shoots of economic spring are appearing once again.
In an unkind way, I just mean to consistently, year after year, be at the top of the tree.
On the hour with Christopher Morris.
That's me. Now listen. Today's fronty prongs.
The headlines.
Rocket curtsied before blowing me up, claims General. Embarrassed dog found sniffing wreck of Titanic. And man with glass face, too disgusting for trial, rules judge.
On the hour.
And as the Conservatives unveil new measures reflecting the Prime Minister's increasingly low-key approach to government, Mr. Heseltine explains how this will affect the Queen's speech.
I'll tell you what will happen. Nothing. Nothing at all, except a stray conversation in the corridors of power.
Plus, with the daily increase in concern for the environment now official, we gauge public reaction to the proposed reductions in the size of cars.
How many feet should a car be then?
I think a car should be about 3 or 4 feet.
And small people to drive them, obviously.
And small people to drive them, that's right.
You wouldn't mind taking a size reduction yourself to help, would you?
Absolutely, no. It might be much better for everyone.
Even if it did mean that you ended up speaking in quite a high voice.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
But first, the news. It's been confirmed that Ireland has burst. The cockatoo-shaped landmass blew open along the southwest coast, squirting millions of tons of noxious fluid into the Atlantic Ocean. The troubleshooter Red Adair, who was dropped into the area to tie up the ends, has not been seen for over 6 hours, and experts say the colossal pressure of the flow may well have prevented him from knotting two peninsulas effectively. It's understood that American naval forces are standing by to tow the stricken isle out to sea, where it will be bombed and sunk as quickly as possible.
On the hour.
Well, to examine the effect of this crisis, I'm joined now by Foreign Secretary Douglas Hurd in Brussels. Good morning.
Morning to you.
In Oslo, the Norwegian Prime Minister, Gro Harlem Brundtland. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And John Prescott is in our Birmingham studio. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning. And on a special line set up to Westminster, Cardinal Basil Hume.
Good morning.
Foreign Secretary Douglas Hurd is joining us from Leeds. Good morning.
I'm depressed.
And our telephone correspondent Nick Ross is in Norwich. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Now, Paddy Ashdown in the studio with me at the moment. You know Nick, don't you?
Well, good afternoon, Nick, and nice to be with you again.
That's nice. And on the line from her home in Sussex, Barbara Castle. Good morning to you, Barbara.
Morning, Ian.
Gentlemen, thank you.
On the hour, towards a new Eden.
Now, there's no shortage of doubt that the world environment is in a shocking state. On the Hour has put together a nature awareness campaign called Know Your Globe. Here's Rosie May.
Green Desk.
Green news update from me, Rosie May. How does it feel to be an eel? If you'd like to know, come to Ken Zetti's Eel Workshop in the River Axe, Somerset. Here you can go underwater and slither around in the silt to get a fair idea of how it might feel to be an eel.
Green Desk.
Personal cress farms. Scientists in California have discovered that we can all grow our own personal supply of healthy green cress in the moist, soft skin and dirt surrounding the rim of the anus.
Green Desk.
And as part of On the Hour's Nature Awareness campaign, we present the first in a series of factual enviropods.
That's the sound of an elephant. A beautiful noise from the heart of nature comes quite literally out of its trunk. Kind of gets you right there, doesn't it? But the seemingly peaceful world of this noble and benign creature is filled not only with threat, but a major death danger. You see, the elephant may be a tough cookie, but he is capable of being hurt. That's the sound of an elephant. And this is the sound of a gun. Put the two together, and Jumbo's a no-no. Sad thing is that the power behind the bullet is no more or less than man's greed. Because every day, thousands of elephants are quite literally put to death to be made into tarpaulins for lorries. We heard only last week the tragic tale of a lady elephant let's call her Jackie, who'd been with a young bull called Brian for a couple of years when, literally, out of nowhere, came Duncan. Duncan was big, he was handsome. To say they hit it off immediately would be an understatement. Now, jealousy's a ruthless duchess, and it wasn't long before Brian had gone out of his mind and tipped off the local poachers. I guess he didn't know what he was doing, because in the resulting shower of death, Jackie, Duncan, and Brian bought big with bullets and fell over to die utterly on the ground. Now, clearly, nothing can compensate the world for this tragic loss. Three deaths which, let's be quite blunt about it, you have brought about. You've done this simply by using something which was once transported somewhere in a lorry.
But if there is any good news, and I guess there is some, it's that the other elephants still have a chance. But you can help.
That is the sound of an elephant. Record it. Play it to a lorry driver and say, thanks to you, mate, this is on the way out. And then watch with pride as he gets down and vows never again to hollow the guts out of an elephant and stick it on his lorry.
On the Hour. Never balks at issues from which other news programs might well shrink.
I'm Alan Partridge. This is Sports Desk. Soccer news. Troubled Leeds United have sold Gordon Strachan for £2 million to retired schoolteacher Mr. Philip Griffiths of Solihull in the West Midlands. Gordon will be expected to make beds, do gardening, and spend any spare hours reading to his new owner by the light of a single candle. Mr. Griffiths has no plans to allow Gordon to display the soccer skills that have made him famous.
News update.
A miracle has taken place in Birmingham. It seems the statue of a local saint has been vomiting real blood for over a year. Our reporter to Ventley Pastime has been to see just what's going on up there.
Victoria Square, Birmingham, and scene of unusual religious fervour. For exactly 1 year now, the ancient statue of local 17th century Saint Alderman Skinner, the Bearword of Bailiwick, has been vomiting real blood. And the man who has to contend with Birmingham's international status as a shrine is City Mayor Malcolm Norman.
It's certainly revitalised a lot of local light industrial work. I don't know if you've heard about our blood bath, bubble bath. This is a locally made product. It's a plastic bottle, a replica of the statue, and the nozzle is the mouth, and red foaming gel comes out. You put it in the bath, very nice.
Is it made from the blood of the statue?
No, not actual blood, obviously. That would be unpleasant and possibly insanitary.
Legend has it that in 1643, Alderman Skinner once spat a pasty into the mouth of a dying old man who had no gums. Though the story doesn't make clear whether this act of kindness saved the gumless innocent, thousands have been inspired by the legend of the spouting mouth and now flock daily to Birmingham to gaze on the miraculous flow. Among them are seasoned travellers Aileen and Eileen Donnellan.
We've seen 14 visions. We've been for 14 different countries and seen 14 different visions.
And 12 of Madonna. What were the other two of?
Well, there was the one in Knock, wasn't there?
That's right. There was the Hovering Donkey.
Hovering Donkey of Knock.
And the Waving Daughter of Dante.
That's right, the Waving Daughter of Dante. That was in Perpignan, and that took us 28 days by foot with a suitcase full of stones.
For some, like local minister David Marston, these bizarre events hint at a contemporary truth.
People have been coming to church and saying to me, Father, well, they've been saying Dave, because I don't like the term Father. They've been saying, Dave, what's all this about the statue, and what's all this about the blood? And I've not seen it myself, and I don't know whether it has or it hasn't happened. But I'm saying, if it is spewing blood, well, bloody good. And, you know, if people can draw from this experience and say, bloody hell, God loves me as well, that's great. And then maybe the problems will diminish. They can come to the youth club and we can talk about it. and go camping.
Some still doubt whether a miracle has actually taken place in Birmingham, despite the obvious blood. Psychopsychologist Erica Lawson is the author of Phenomena or Phonydom.
Just behind the statue of Alderman Skinner is the Civic Library. Now, that has recently been re-roofed. Now, the roofing that's been used is basically a copper roof. Now, copper, as we know, once it is oxidised, becomes a red colour. The refraction of light during rainstorms can cause the rain to look red. Rain that's being bounced off the alderman's nose, that rain is discoloured.
That doesn't seem to explain why at least 300 gallons a week of blood has been congealing and building up with a fountain below the statue.
It's not, whatever figure you just cited. On average, it's been around 16 centilitres a day. Now, we're talking about a major inner city area here. It's not unusual to have 16 centilitres of blood around. Not unusual.
You're not a Christian, are you, Dr. Erica?
I don't think that's relevant, actually. I don't want to discuss this because I don't think it's relevant. I'm a scientist.
Drive home safely.
To Ventley Pastime there with that fabulous report.
On the Hour. Knows where it is and how to get there by taxi.
Know your globe again, and while On the Hour has been boosting nature awareness for Radio 4 listeners, other BBC radio programmes have been doing their bit too, like Radio 1's Wayne Carr in the afternoon.
Radio Wayne FM. Wayne Carr in the afternoon.
Wayne Carr in the afternoon.
Just brilliant. Okay, and time now for a chinny wag.
Chinny wag, chinny wag, chinny wag, chin.
Everybody here in the chinny wag chapter, yeah? And the subject for today is endangered animals. Yeah. Okay, it's a subject with just a lot of stuff and everything in it, because they're like real animals, only they're a bit endangered, and they're increasing in number every day. Just what do you reckon? Okay, Sparky?
Well, I think it's good news, really.
Good
news. I mean, if the numbers are going up all the time.
Yeah.
Then there'll soon be enough of them to get them off the danger list, won't there? Hey?
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, good point. Okay, good point. Well made.
And another thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what is an animal anyway?
Yes, Sparky.
You know, you've got to work it out, haven't you? What is an animal?
What an animal is. Yeah, you know, I hadn't actually thought about it that way, but now you mention it, I guess you're right. Okay. Yeah, good point. And what about you, Potato Man? Yeah. Right, okay. Good point. Yeah, good point. Well made. And what about you, Romford? Just what is an animal?
Well, you've asked a question there, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
What is an animal?
Question.
According to my girlfriend, I am. Hey?
Bit of satire. Okay. What do you reckon, Wendy the Pencil? Is a crocodile an animal?
No, because it's long and it's sort of hard.
So what is it?
Well, a crocodile is a vegetable.
Vegetable, okay.
Yeah, sort of green and brown, you know, it's not animal colour.
Not animal colour. Yeah, animals are animal colour and a crocodile is green.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, green, not the animal colour.
Not animal colour, yeah, good point. And do you know what I reckon? Piece of factimation for you. I reckon that endangered animals are not really endangered at all. They're just hiding. Think about it. It's just a way of calling attention to themselves at the expense of other so-called common animals like sparrows and chickens. Yeah, okay. I say shoot a panda, save a chicken. Yeah, okay. Chinny wag.
On the Hour, equal doses of fact and whale saving.
Now, as you probably know, On the Hour celebrates its 33rd anniversary this year, and that means 396 months of brilliance. We've ransacked the archive for highlights of 1959, the year in which Britain first woke up to a brand new sound in wireless.
This is the BBC Home Service.
On the hour. News.
Let me make it quite clear.
I am a very humble man.
On the hour.
In the months and the years that lie ahead.
Spotlight on takeover bids.
On the hour. Regular briefings.
I know that there are many people who agree with me about all this.
Yes, I can well remember the years between the wars.
On the hour. In the home service of the BBC. Hello to you. Good evening. The news be with you. Features in depth presently, but first today's particularly important stories, reduced to sentence-long summaries. A reservoir-filling operation has run into difficulties in the Midlands because of a protest by local sheep who are setting themselves on fire. It now looks certain that the northern town of Lancaster has unfortunately been destroyed by a lorry. The Minister for Building has announced his new plans will be characterized by a brisk, refreshing style, quite free from the depressing legacy of rationing and the destructive influence of bebop jazz. And the escaped lunatic who's been leering at office workers in a distracting way has finally been lassoed by the police and fed to the leopards at Colchester Zoo. But first, today's main news item. Reporters with microphones have been allowed for the very first time behind doors at the royal family's dentist. Today it was the turn of young Princess Anne. Our man, Roger Mules, was there to watch.
Ah, what a horrible sight. The water washing the whole side now. She got a weight of water in there, tons and tons of water, and you saw her drag right down, and I thought, anyway, she's just going to continue this roll and turn right over. But she, the water drained off, she shook herself and came up just a few degrees.
On the hour. News for you too, Daddy-O.
Even in its infancy, On the Hour was developing a formula which included not only news, but a wealth of feature material which was to become the basis of a magazine programme with a very broad brief.
And now it's time for Slate Desk. Come in, Clough Williams-Ellis. Today, slates.
I think it's very nice to have a variegated size of slate for a roof. One slate I cannot bear personally is the large, smooth, purple slate.
Clough Williams-Ellis, our slate expert, who'll be back with more slates on Slate Desk at the same time tomorrow. On the hour, bristles with news for the listener at home.
But it was in the field of hard news that On the Hour really made its mark. Less than 6 months after going on air, On the Hour actually created news when Richard Learing, the then junior Treasury Minister, resigned following this exchange.
I don't listen to polls, I don't look at polls, I speak with people. I'm not prepared to be pushed around by a scullion such as yourself, who has no real knowledge of economics, or indeed in the thick of government, which is where I am negotiating.
Well, Minister,
I
wouldn't exactly
right.
Say you're in the thick of government. You're not a member of the cabinet yourself. You're a junior Treasury Minister.
I am a junior Treasury Minister, but however, I'm heavily involved in the day-to-day planning and execution.
Well, technically, you're not. In fact, the civil servants
well,
do the planning and the execution. You merely deliver a speech in the House of Commons. What is your position?
You're conducting the interview. I'm responding to your question, sir. And if you don't let me have my say and articulate myself as well I might, then, quite frankly, arse to you.
And that's
arse.
The word you're using, is it?
Arse to
is that the word that sums up your position, Minister?
Arse,
and
no.
That's where you want to leave
I'll
it,
I'll go
you?
Further. Big arse.
I see. And how much further can you go than that, Minister? Is that the furthest
if
you wish to go down
me,
this particular
road? No,
yes,
I'll
I will
further.
Press you, Minister.
Three big asses on
well,
a bench.
I don't think that's enough for the general public. This is an extremely important issue, and if that's the kind of position the government wishes to adopt...
Three big asses on a bench?
Just three, then, is
in
it?
In drainpipe hipsters. I'm sorry.
On the hour, at the forefront of communications wireless.
Well, that was then, but this is now. And just time to let you know that there's a build-up of heavy traffic on the M4 westbound at Junction 12 as the hangar gyratory system is being towed to Malmesbury this afternoon. And now for today's business news, here's Niels Blythe.
Well, the stock market's pretty mixed this morning. The 100-share index up 618 million point, 20.288.4, 21,356. The ex-building society, Abbey National, report profits last year of £17, which means they're now Britain's second biggest bank. Provisions for bad drugs were nearly trebled at £155 million. Fison's report profits down 618 million percent after being forced to withdraw Louise Botting from the American market because the US authorities were unhappy with production quality. On the foreign exchanges, the pound down 0.6% at one German Pfennig, 0.4 and a half, but sterling up at £72 million, 21,052.
On the hour, rich pickings at the media events interface.
Back now to our main news item. The trial of mass murderer Daimler Jeffries continues to dominate the news in the United States. CBN's Barbara Wintergreen has filed this report, which is being played in on a blue reel, and that's how we know it's American.
As the trial judge, I have the responsibility to decide which laws apply to this case and to explain...
Judge Marion Hartman addresses the jury in the latest TV trial to grip America. But it's not 12 good men and true she's talking to... It's 14 million cable network viewers who each will be making an instant push-button judgment because this is the age of jury TV, the brainchild of convicted mass murderer Daimler Jeffries.
Well, I was just lying in bed real bored on death row. I just thought, what would I really like to watch on TV if I had a TV? I'd like to watch justice.
So, Daimler, what's the big idea?
The big idea. Big idea is we televise my trial. We're going to have the old electric chair rigged up in the courtroom. And then we get a phone-in vote. Viewers, be about 14 million of them, they can just decide whether I'm innocent or guilty.
And what happens if they vote against you?
They turn the electric chair on.
Votecution TV producer Brian Eggleham is in charge of the televised death vote.
All the viewers have to do is, at the end of the trial, they have a choice of two numbers. The first one, 09278, if they want him to be free. And the second one, 09279, if they want him to be fried. Then the computer calculates the total number of calls for each number. Well, if it's fry, then the current is automatically connected and he fries.
Have you had any opposition from moral groups?
Not that has actually reached me beyond my secretary, no.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the scheme. That excited like a pig on smack and sold the rights to 13 cable networks and got an option on a further 10 trials. Hopefully they'll involve me too.
You've heard the evidence, citizens of America. Would you vote now, please?
As Daimler Jeffries sees all hope of a retrial go up in smoke, it looks as if this is a primetime drama that's going to keep at least one viewer glued to his seat. Barbara Wintergreen, CBN News, Milwaukee Court Studios.
Fab. Back now to Know Your Globe. And the environmentalist Sir Lupus Kurt Sturgeon today launches his appeal to save the rhino. With this report from Here's Nick Watkins.
Sir Lupus Kurt Sturgeon claims the future of the rhinoceros depends on reversing a trend of disregard for the animal, which has been going on for years.
Extensive research from our centre based in Mogadishu has shown that most rhino deaths are caused by the cruel native habit of forcing them up trees to look for berries. When the heavy animals reach the thin branches where the berries grow, the branches snap, and they simply fall and tumble to an horrific death on the ground below. We feel that the killing must stop immediately because rhinos are badly needed by the aphrodisiac trade.
The natives, how will you stop them?
Well, obviously, we're going to be giving these people a bloody good kicking. But we've also planned on a more subtle, persuasive system, using drawings depicting rhinocerids on the ground, smiling, and a series of cassette tapes containing the subliminal message, stop driving that rhino up a tree, his fallen death will shame your people.
What else will you be doing out there?
The other creature we hope to save on this expedition is the parkkeeper bird. It's a beautiful, graceful, if slightly pointless stalk that wanders about the savannah, spearing detritus on its beak, until such time as it jams shut, whereupon it dies of starvation.
On the hour. Still drives cars, yes, but is aware of the damage they cause and would gladly sell them tomorrow if a realistic alternative could be found. And that's the point.
And I couldn't think of a more appropriate moment to join Monsignor Trebe Lopez for his thought for the day. Monsignor, any sign of any hope at all in what's going on in the world at the moment?
If a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, then how much greater is the worth of the Lord Jesus? It is three.
The telephone of a trusted earthly friend might be disconnected by the post office, but the Lord's heavenly telephone is always in service, though there is a complicated stacking system.
And now it's time for Sports Desk with Alan Partridge. And it's a special Sports Desk this week. As I gather, Alan, you're going to be looking ahead to the summer's sporting prospects. So what have you actually got to look forward to? Is it going to be a good summer for sport?
This is Sports Desk. I'm Alan Partridge. And it's a very special desk of sport this week as we look forward to an exciting summer of action. If last year's summer was anything to go by, then look out for some hot action in the tennis field.
Lendl about to serve, Couch in his march. It's a good serve, Couch go back. There's Lendl, over his volley, down. He's got that back, there again, the corner. He's ducking it, it's up in the air, ducking it again, it's a smash. Yeah!
Well, if you think the temperature was a bit hot there, things got even more frosty when it all hotted up for the boat race. Once again, Oxford and Cambridge, the undisputed grandmasters of racing boats on the Thames, are in the lead as they come under the bridge there, the famed bridge that has cars on it. But where are the others? Where are the others? The other universities, they're nowhere to be seen. And I'm worried for one. I wonder if Norwich are in the race. Who knows? Let's keep our fingers crossed that they're not too far behind. And let's hope that they've not been sunk in some horrible boating disaster. That really would be a sad day for the days of racing boats along the Thames. And I think it's Oxford who are in the lead. I can't be sure. It could be Cambridge, but they're certainly in the lead of that, there's no doubt, as they round another bend to go under another bridge. This one that appears to take trains on it. And they emerge. And there'll certainly be a considerable amount of temperature for Nick Faldo at this year's Open Golf Tournament.
Faldo there, placing the golf ball precariously on the tee. Heaven knows. Hope it doesn't fall off. Have to put it back on again. People staring tentatively. The atmosphere here is absolutely electric. And he takes position, holds the long bat thing in his hand. He's in both his hands there. And he swings it up in the air, way, way up. And it's a fast stone. He's hit it!
And finally, who can forget the sizzling finish to last year's horse meeting at Royal Ascot? And they're off! Yes, they're off! They're off, the horses are off, and it's Keith in the lead. Keith in the lead, followed by Thot Davity. The Pardon Me event close up the rear. On the inside is Henry Cooper, closely followed by Placenta Girl. And Bishop Thumpety Thump has lost his rider. And coming from nowhere, I Am a Horse! I Am a Horse! Coming straight up the inside, I Am a Horse. I Am a Horse in the lead. With Archie's Pension coming at the inside. Bishop Thumpety Thump, as I said, is completely out, still out. Thot Davity on the inside, closely followed by Keith, the Bobby Devereux snooker experience. Lord Follicles, whomsoever machine, from nowhere. And he's between Thot Davity and Placenta Girl. Thot Davity and Placenta Girl. Who's going to win? Is it Thot Davity and Placenta Girl? Thot Davity, Placenta Girl, coming right up from nowhere. And it's Thot Davity, followed by Coventry Child Abuse, Placenta Girl. And there, following up the rear, is Barcelona Drugs Baron. No, I've just been told Keith's won! Keith won! Great! I am Alan Partridge, and this will be my summer of sport, as well as the Olympics. Welcome.
Thanks, Alan. Just about it. Just about all we have time for. And we have a quick notice for drivers. We've just heard from the Ministry of Transport that no roads will last beyond 7 o'clock tonight. So if you're in a car, hurry up.
Closing music.
And just time for a rapid glance at tomorrow's papers. There's a large timepiece on the front of the Telegraph. The headline there, it's 6 o'clock, say Greenwich Time Laboratories. I see the Times are giving away a Teach Yourself to Read book tomorrow. The Independent lead with spherical torpedo depresses Navy. There's a picture there of a large splash. Come shake my hand, you bitches from hell, is the headline in the War Cry. While the Daily Mail go with Blue Giraffe storms out of peace talks. That's it. I'm Christopher Morris, my species, Homo Sapi News.